Today, inshallah, this past Monday, I was actually talking about that who are those people who earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, in this brief khatra, I want to talk about how we have to always be aware and be careful about not doing those things that can incur Allah's wrath and His anger upon ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, it is a reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, while He is Ghafurur Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed Shadidul Iqab. He is the one who gives and inflicts the most painful punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, various places, He talks about Jannah, but He talks about Jahannam. He does mention, it is mentioned in the Hadith Qudsi, that His rahmah and mercy trumps and it's overpowers his anger and His ghadab. But there is no reality, there is no doubt in the reality that there is something called the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is interesting that you find people till today that they will commit sins and sins and sins, and in order to make them feel self good, they will say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafur rahim. We remind ourselves that in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqun. And He says about these people that there were four steps that they took in order to land themselves in the fire of Jahannam. And one of the very first one was, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Then the next step was, وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. And then the third step was, وَارْتَبْتُمْ. And then the fourth step was, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. There are people, there are times when we go so deep into a sin that then coming out of that sin, leaving that sin becomes so difficult. And at that time, the best way to console ourselves is, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafur Rahim. Yes, He is indeed Ghafur Rahim, but He is also the one who will inflict a pain and a punishment upon people. In Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions those who will be given their book of deeds in their right hand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the flip side, He does mention those who be given their book of deeds in their left hand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a very detailed description of what will happen to these people in the fire of Jahannam. So we have to always be aware that there are two different concepts. There is the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, but then the ghadab of Allah. And that is why we find greats, such great people such as Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who says that I judge my matters between hope and mercy and the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on one hand you have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive, but there's khawf and raja. There is fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me. So that's why we have to always be cognizant of the fact that yes, while Allah is there and He will forgive inshallah, but we don't do those things to incur Allah's wrath. What are some of the things that we should stay away from that will incur Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath that is mentioned in the Quran? The first one is those who are mentioned. They are mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Who are those? Now often you will see that in many books or many translations of the Quran, it will be written over there, those who are the Yahud. And وَلَا الضَّالِينَ is a reference to those who are the Nasara. That does not necessarily mean that every single Yahud is al-maghdubi alayhim. There could be other people who are not Yahud who are al-maghdubi alayhim. But the question is that why is it that the Yahud were referred to as al-maghdubi alayhim, those who incurred Allah's anger? The reason is that one of the things about the Yahud and Bani Israel is they had the knowledge, but they did not have the action. They had the ilm, but they did not have amal. They knew what was the haqq, but they chose not to follow the haqq. And not only that, but when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the fact that he came from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salam, and Bani Israel came from the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam, they outright rejected the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Though they know, and by the way, it is mentioned in the books of Sirah, that the reason why they were in Medina to begin with is because based on their own teachings, they knew that something is going to happen here. The final prophet will come here. They did believe in that. But just because he was from the lineage of Ismail, they rejected the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to them as al-maghdubi alayhim. Those who know what is right, but they choose not to follow it. Now, this is not only for them. Think about even for us, how many times. Wallahi, many of us, when we do something that is wrong, we know that this is wrong. We know it's wrong. I do something, I say something to someone, I know I'm doing something that is wrong. That is al-maghdubi alayhim. Because you have the knowledge. We know what's right and what's wrong, but we choose to do still what is wrong. How many times in family matters or community matters, we take the side of those who are doing wrong. Why? Because they might be from our family, for example. But I know what I'm doing is not right, but because they are my family, I have to give them preference over Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is al-maghdubi alayhim. Why? Because we know what's right, yet we choose to reject the truth. So it's not only, a lot of times when we read the Quran, we have a very narrow vision of what the Quran is trying to tell us. We have to expand that understanding, and a lot of times we will realize that we fall into that same category. The next group of people upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have His anger and His wrath upon are those who stay away from ibadat. Now let me explain this way. Many of the ulama, they say that one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with you, He does not take away things from you in life. Every single person, Muslim, kafir, they all are inhaling, exhaling. Everyone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fed. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he says that do not give those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says no. قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا. Even those who don't believe in Allah, I will give them. But the ulama, they say that one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with you is that He takes away the tawfiq. He takes away the opportunities to do good. You know how many people, they have the time, they have the money, they have the opportunity to go for umrah. They have the money, the time, the opportunity, the money to go for hajj. Allah does not give them the tawfiq. Allah takes away the tawfiq from them. How many times we're sitting at home, we know it's time for salat. Salat time is going. It's going, it's going, and it's gone. That's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset. He's taking away the tawfiq from you to pray salat. That in itself is an alarming sign. Whenever we know that we can do something and we're still not doing it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perhaps upset with us. So that is why we have to always be very careful and be very, you know, pay attention to these kind of things. The third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises, or He's angry with these kind of people, are those who have pride and arrogance in their heart. Why? Because this is only and only a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to arrogance, one is pride. Let me make the difference. One is pride. Alhamdulillah, I have a nice car. Alhamdulillah, I have a nice, beautiful home. I have this, that, and I have that. And you are proud about it. And even if someone says, asks you about this car, or asks you about your house, or your job, and so forth, you very pridefully, you talk about it. Alhamdulillah, you are so proud about it. That's not the problem. The problem is arrogance. Arrogance is, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has described, بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. It is judgment. To judge someone is only and only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. There is no one who can judge someone else. The only one who can judge is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but the second definition of arrogance is بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ, to suppress the truth. Meaning that you suppress the truth and you replace that with your own truth, which is almost in one way legislation. Legislation is only and only the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people are arrogant, you are taking away the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are trying to say that whatever rights belong to Allah, I also have those same rights. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very clearly in the Quran, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Fourth are those people who commit oppression against themselves, meaning those who are indulged in sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَأُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمَا لَهُمْ min nasirin. Those who did wrong and they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they did kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will inflict a painful punishment upon them and they will not have any wali in the hereafter. And by the way, before I have explained why you see all over the Quran the word waliyin is mentioned, because the Meccans a long time ago when they used to live in Mecca, that if you were someone who did not have a very, I would say, a very prestigious kind of position in Mecca, you did not belong to a great family in Mecca, a lot of times you would need someone else's protection in order to live in Mecca. So what they would do is that they would live under each other's protection. You know, they call this, even nowadays, they call this a lot of times diplomatic immunity. Okay, go into someone else's country, do whatever you want because you are under diplomatic immunity. Do whatever you want. So a lot of times they would do these kind of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the hereafter, you are not going to have any wali. Here you're going to have a wali. You will have people to back you up. And even subhanAllah till today, when you see politicians doing things that are completely wrong, you know why they get away? Because they have what? They have a wali, right? They have other politicians who are going to back them up. So in this dunya, you have everyone to back you up, even when you do something that is wrong. In the hereafter, ma lahum min waliyin wala nasir. They don't have any wali in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa amma alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. However, those who do righteous deeds, fayuwaffihim ujurahum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a great reward, a full reward. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimin. Allah makes it very clear in the Quran, Allah does not like those who commit dhulm. Now, of course, dhulm could mean doing dhulm against someone else. Here, many of the ulama, they say that this dhulm here is in reference to yourself, meaning committing dhulm against yourself. The last few things is, number five, extravagance. We all know what extravagance is. Our deen has taught us to always be moderate when it comes to spending. Do not be so stingy that you don't want to spend, you don't want to give. Do not be extravagant, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah does not like those who are extravagant. So when it comes to our money, you know how often, subhanAllah, today in our families, our Muslim families, by the way, one of the key reasons of divorces in our Muslim community is money. Okay? It's money. One of the key reasons of conflicts in our Muslim families is money. That is why we have to be very careful of how we spend our money. Number six, treachery and betrayal. To betray someone, to lie to someone, when it comes to financial transactions, when it comes to promises and so forth, even when it comes to secrets, there are times when we betray others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ. When someone gives you an amana, you take care of that amana. Number seven, exposing your own sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that one of the most despised people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who expose their own sins. And it's called a mujahir. It's called a mujahir. One is a muhajir. These are people who are known as mujahir. It comes from the word jahara. Jahara, like even when we talk about salat, we say salat jahri. The salat wherein we recite out loud, meaning that you are exposing your voice. Likewise, these people are called mujahir. Why? Because Allah, these are the people who commit sins and Allah covers up their sins. But these are the same people who go out and they will expose their sins and they're proud over their sins. Allah, these are one of the people who are the most despised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, number eight, are those who commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we can talk about shirk on a greater scale, the major shirk, which are those who worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have the shirkul khafi. Shirkul khafi is, what is shirkul khafi? Riya. Riya is shirkul khafi. Doing something to please someone else rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're giving sadaqah, not so that you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather you can have other people say, what a generous person this brother was or this sister was. You're volunteering or you're doing something that is good. Why? Not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to serve His makhluq, but rather to have people praise you for what you are doing. This is known as shirkul khafi. So these are also a group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises. So quickly, once again, those who know the truth and they reject the truth. Number two was those that, these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away opportunities of doing good from them. Number three, arrogance. Number four, those who commit dhulm against themselves, who commit sins day and night. Number five, extravagance. Number six, treachery and betrayal. Number seven, exposing one's own sins. And number eight, committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are eight things that we must all stay away from in order to protect ourselves from the wrath of Allah, from the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we are amongst those who have earned His ghadab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace that with His rahmah and His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us His rahmah and mercy in this dunya and especially in the akhirah. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا.